I don't read that much, except for I read the Bible and I read books on how to rebuild cars and stuff. John, he's a reader. I know that. But we do have one thing in common, is we both like getting good deals. We both like shopping at the discount stores. And I was at St. Vincent de Paul's, I believe it is, in Springfield the other day, and I got me a treasure here. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn by Mark Twain. So I thought I'd read this guy's to you, let you know what adventure's really like. No, that's not going to happen. Because this is fiction. Nothing in here really happened. Now this, however, has some really good stories in it, and basically they're all true. Except for the parables that Jesus spoke, everything in his Bible happened. It's not a make-believe. For example, Jonah and the fish. Some people think, oh, that's a fairy tale. That never happened. There's no such thing as a fish big enough to swallow a human being. Well, guess what? There was, because my Bible said so. And I'm going to read you a story. And if you turn to the book of Jonah, it's only four chapters, so I'm going to read the whole thing to you. I'm going to read out of the King James Version, because that's what I'm used to. And to me, it just gets to the meat of the matter better than the most versions, but that's my preference. Oh, speaking of adventures, I was in Alaska for a short period of time working on a processing boat for processing fish. They'd bring us the fish. We'd put them in specific weighted pots, trays, and then freeze them and then offload them onto a Japanese boat. But I got to know one of the fishermen there, and he only had one arm, but he caught a fish this big. Okay. Let's start off here in chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai. Jonah was a minor prophet. Not to say what he had to say wasn't worth listening to. But he was a prophet nonetheless. God gave him things to do, and the Lord came upon him, Jonah, and God said, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Jonah scratched his head and he goes, "I don't think I like that idea too much." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was going to run away from God. Now, how do you do that? It's not possible, okay? But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Now, when many people tell this story, they say Jonah was swallowed by a whale. No fish is big enough to swallow a man. But in this particular instance, there was. And like I said, this is a true story, you know. In verse 6. Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us. that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, and let us cast lots, that we know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. A few years ago, I set out on a pilgrimage because I was very displeased with the way my life was going. And I was headed to New Mexico, I thought. But I was down in California, and I got stuck in this one little town. And I was there for 5 days, but I found a place to hide that was perfect. The trees came all the way down, the limbs of these trees came all the way down to the ground. So I could crawl in there at night, unmolested. Nobody knew I was there. And later on, after I finally got my wits about me and came back home, I used to joke and told people that I found a place to hide so well God couldn't find me. But we know that isn't true. On that particular trip, I got very close to God. There were days he was the only one I could have a serious conversation with. Now, why Jonah thought he could hide from God is a mystery to me. I guess he got the idea from Adam and Eve. Now, in verse 5, the mariners that were on the ship called unto his God, the captain did. The incident occurred many years before Christ was crucified and resurrected, so they were under the Mosaical law. The first commandment was to have no other gods before me. That still holds true for us. No other God before him, after him, or during him. Now, many people today, including myself, have had issues where we make something else our God. Sex, drugs, money, clothes, the cars. Anything you put before God, you're making it a God, and that's a sin. It's wrong. It doesn't make any sense. God's our provider. Verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Now see, these guys were all atheists. They had all this stuff on the ship. Incense burners, all kinds of stuff for their false gods. But now all of a sudden, they're about ready to die. They're talking to the real God. A turn of events happened there. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. They went from atheists to God-fearers in just a matter of a few minutes. All it took was a serious storm. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Yeah, that doesn't say whale. As fish. Chapter 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest me, my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. See, he brought all this unto himself, but now he's beginning to realize he made a tremendous blunder. He was inside the stomach of a fish swimming around in the sea. Now, it doesn't say he was panicking, but I'm pretty sure I would have. I would have got claustrophobia if nothing else. Verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That would be quite a sight to see, wouldn't it? A fish big enough to swallow a man swims up to shore and pukes out a man and swims away. Now, I'm thinking the first thing that Jonah did was take a bath, and then he got something to eat and to drink because he'd been in that fish's stomach for 3 days without food and water. Chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. See, God found him. I guess he didn't have a very good place to hide after all. Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. When they say great city, Nineveh had a population of 120,000 people. Eugene has a population of 175,000. So this city was three-fourths the size of Eugene, and God was going to treat it just like he did Sodom and Gomorrah. They were doing things they shouldn't do. They wouldn't heed his warning. So he was just going to obliterate the whole city. So Jonah arose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It takes 3 days to walk one side of the city to the other. God hadn't given up on Jonah yet. He doesn't give up on us either. I wouldn't be standing here today if that were the truth. God doesn't give up on his children, even if we give up on him. We all make mistakes. We sin and fall short of his glory. But we pray and ask for forgiveness and move on. Verse 4, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid up, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto the Lord. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. He changed his mind. He told Jonah, go to that town and tell everybody, prepare for the end, because it's upon us. But they heeded his warning. They changed their ways. God didn't kill him after all. Chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Did I say anything about Jonah having issues? Well, he did. He was angry because God showed mercy on the people of Nineveh. He lost his temper. Now, when you have a piece of steel and you want to make a tool or a knife or a sword out of it, you want it to be tempered. First thing you do is you get it red hot, you quench it in oil. That hardens it, but it makes it brittle. You heat it again and let it cool by itself, then it's tempered. It's flexible, will hold an edge. That's like us. We can come off all hard, but we break easy. You hold your temper, you don't break, you bend. You make it through the hard times because you don't break. You don't lose your temper. You lose your temper, the game's over. Now Jonah, he was in the town, but he got displeased at God because God didn't destroy the town. He was up on the hill waiting for the fireworks like we do at the fairgrounds on the 4th of July, but nothing happened. Okay. Verse 2. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was in my country? Therefore fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than live. Verse 4. Then said the Lord, dost thou well to be angry? Well, no. Of course not. Verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There made him a booth, sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. See, he was in the city at the same time that he expected God to do the fire and brimstone or whatever he was going to do to destroy the city. So was he there to see all this destruction, or did he want to be destroyed himself? Because he was right in the town where God was supposed to destroy it. He was, like I said, he had some issues. Verse 6, and the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. Don't God have a better idea? This makes me think that people were ignorant or uneducated, which is why many people today go down the wrong path. Jonah introduced them to a little knowledge and compassion from God, and behold, an entire city was saved. Then said the Lord, thou hast pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither makes it grow, which come up in night and perish in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle? So, obviously, Jonah was a good guy because he has his own book in the Bible. And God made him a prophet. So, God knows a lot more about the situation than we do. But he saved the city. Now, God used the word prepared in that story four times in the King James Version. Now the Boy Scout motto is, be prepared. It's like us, we should be prepared. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Chapter 4, verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's one way to prepare yourself for the trip you're on. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. Second Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now please turn to Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8. This is a prophecy. Isaiah was a prophet, and this is something he prophesied for the future. He's talking about us. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, people, though fools shall not err therein. We're going to have a highway built for us to get to where we're going. Please turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. See, we're all on a trip. We're all going on a trip. We all have the same destination in mind. Now, be prepared on this trip, because your trip might turn into an adventure. But we're all going to get to the same place eventually. Now, your trip, adventure, slash, all varies. We all have different qualities and lengths of trips, but we're all getting to the same place. When Christ comes back or when we die, we're all going to go to heaven.